You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
On Sunday, we began our new Hope series. And the focus for the month of, really the month of November, is really pouring hope into the lives of people. And so if you know somebody in your life that you just go, man, they could use some hope, will you take them a card? Cards can be found out in the back. You can also just grab those and just invite them. That's why we do these. People go, why do you do these cards? It's because it's a great tool to take with you and just hand to somebody that needs some hope. See, man, if you're needing some hope, come to my church. We're talking about it. Bring them, invite them, ask them to come with you. It's a great time. Also, next Wednesday night, we are moving our service down to a one-hour Wednesday night service for the month of November and December. We have six Wednesday nights left in the year. Can you believe that? And the year is done. It's amazing how fast. Anybody, time's going fast? It just seems like time is going fast. But choir for Christmas is going to be meeting on Wednesday nights from 8 to 9, right after the service in the Life Center, the orchestra. If you'd like to be a part of our choir, see Pastor Michael. Well, he was up there. He's disappeared. But see Pastor Michael. He's our worship pastor. Want to encourage you. We have a great homecoming Christmas coming up. Lots of great opportunities to use your talent. So want to encourage you with that. Tonight, we're in the middle of our Holy Spirit series. We're really taking a good, in-depth look at who the Holy Spirit is, how he works in our lives, and how he wants to work. And it's so important. One of the things I've asked is that we take a blank slate and we just go, Lord, teach me something about your Holy Spirit. Teach me something maybe I thought I knew, but I really want to go in depth and say, what does Scripture say about how the Holy Spirit works in our life? What his purpose was? A couple weeks ago when we kicked this off, we talked about the importance of embracing the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, all part of the Trinity that the Bible talks about. And if, you know, a lot of people are great with God, man, he's awesome. A lot of people are great with Jesus being the only way. But sometimes they get into the part where the Holy Spirit comes on and they just go, I don't really understand, so kind of hold them off at a distance. And I want to encourage us, because if you're holding the Holy Spirit off at a distance, you're actually holding God at a distance. Because Scripture says they're all three in one, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to be our partner here on earth, to walk with us, to be beside us, to really walk us through this life. So it's so important that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. He opens doors. A couple weeks ago then we talked about worship, the importance of worship and the Holy Spirit in our lives. What we do, this portion of worship that happens, yes, we worship God in every aspect, in every area of our life, but also the importance when we get together in corporate worship and how God wants to be worshiped. We talked about his love language. We looked at Scripture and took an in-depth. I encourage you, if you missed those two, really take a moment and get on the podcast and take a listen, because I think they can be life-changing. Tonight, I want to talk to you about fruitfulness. I want to talk to you about a call that Jesus has made to every single believer. There are notes. If you don't have a copy, just slip up your hand. We want to get those into your hands. We're going to do the fill in the blanks tonight. We've got a few blanks to fill in. But I want to talk to you about fruitfulness. And so many times when you get into the Holy Spirit and you start talking about the Holy Spirit, everyone loves to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, where prophetic gifts and speaking in tongues and all of the different gifts of the Spirit. But the truth is, the reason we have the Holy Spirit is so that the fruit of the Spirit will work in our lives every day of the year, every day of our lives. The fruit of the Spirit working out in our lives. And we live in a society today where people don't like to be called on how they live. In fact, if you talk to somebody about how they live, what they'll say is, well, you can't judge me. And I want to tell you something. As Christians, the Bible tells we will know them by their fruit. So there's something called a fruit check, where you can come along and go, you better check your fruit. Because what fruit is coming out of your life? We are called to fruitfulness. Every one of us in this room are called to be fruitful. I want to talk to you about it. In John 15, we're going to base ourselves out of that statement. And then from this week forward, we're going to talk about each fruit of the Spirit and how that plays out in our lives. We're going to take an in-depth study of how the fruit of the Spirit plays out in our lives, and we'll go into the gifts of the Spirit after that. But I really want to look, because I think the fruit of the Spirit should change how we live our lives every day of our lives. We also live in a time where people will come to church, they sit in the pews for an hour and a half, They leave and they're no different than when they first walked in. Nothing changes in their life. There's no fruit. If you look at the fruit of their life, it would tell you that it's completely different. We have this idea that all I need to do is get saved, and then it stops there, but it doesn't. That's where it starts. It starts when you get saved. That's when the transformation process should begin. You should change. You should be different than how you are today. Could you imagine walking up to a fruit tree and there be no fruit on that tree? Well, you know, it's supposed to be an apple tree. Just pretend with me that it's there. What would they'd cut that tree down and it would be over with. There's a lot of believers that go, well, I'm supposed to have fruit, but there's no fruit in their lives. It's the opposite side. And what I want to challenge us with is this idea of what fruitfulness needs to look like. When we open up into John 15, it's Jesus at the Last Supper. So he's giving his disciples kind of the last words before he went to the cross, before he would experience death and resurrection. This would be the last words that he would share. Anytime you hear last words of somebody, and Jesus knew it was coming, this was not going to be a surprise. These are important words. He would not waste his final words on things that didn't matter. What he's saying is, I want to get everything in before I get ready to go home. The disciples would not see Jesus again for the death, resurrection, and then he'd be back for 40 days, and then he'd be ascended into heaven. So, I mean, like, this was the winding down of Jesus' time on earth. He was sharing the final instructions, the very limited time. And I find it interesting that fruitfulness is one of the main topics that Jesus talks to his disciples about. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And what that's talking about when it says you that I chose you, Jesus chose to get up on a cross and die for you and I. So don't walk away thinking, well, there's just a chosen few. No, every one of us is chosen. Salvation has been made to every person in this room. And when Jesus got up on a cross and he died and he gave his life for you and I, talk about fruit, huh? That the whole world could see him sitting on a cross and dying, he chose us. He said, I will give my life so that you can experience salvation. And listen to what he said. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Interesting correlation between the fruit in our lives and God answering our prayers, isn't it? That's what Jesus said. If you look at the message, I really like how the message, you did not choose me, remember, I choose you and put you in the world to bear fruit. We're not put in the world to work. We're not put in the world. Look at why Jesus put us in the world, to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. Very interesting perspective, isn't it? When you look at that, we've been put in the world to bear fruit. Well, what kind of fruit? What should we be bearing? We've been put in this world so that we would bear fruit. And the Christian, we've gotten this fruitfulness confused with works, because you see, there's nothing you have to do to be saved. There's nothing you can do that will cause God to love you any less or any more than he already does. But that's salvation. That's just the beginning. But when you are saved, then Jesus calls us to live fruitful lives. He says, listen, your faith should be lived out. The fruit of your life should be lived out everywhere you go, in your jobs, in your home, everywhere you go. The fruit, my fruit, should be lived out. And see, I think what we've gotten confused is that there's so much grace talk. Like, listen, no matter what happens, God has so much grace, and it's true. But that does not negate the fact that we're called to bear fruit. What kind of fruit is coming out of your life? It's something that we've got to look at. Turn the mirror towards us and say, God, what kind of fruit? And I think it's a constant battle, because the enemy can slip things in. And it's a constant challenge of saying, God, what kind of fruit is coming out of my life? It's the outflow of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in your life when you get saved. The fruit that should be flowing out of your life comes from Jesus. There's nothing that, like I said, you can't earn salvation. You can't be good enough. We can't work our way into heaven. This is not about works, but it's about the fruit in our lives. Salvation only happens because of Jesus. The mentality of I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person does not work. Anybody hear somebody say that? Why, man, I'm such a good person. You can never be good enough to earn salvation. And it's not really about being a good person. If you think that's what fruitfulness is, tonight I want to help you with that definition. It's not about you being a better person, although God does love to make us a better version of who we are. But what I want to challenge is it doesn't mean that once you get saved, that's all you have to do. Getting saved is just the beginning. Letting Jesus come in and begin to work in our lives, begin to produce fruit in our lives once we've been saved, that's really what the goal is. Jesus, change me into someone who is more like you. Our lives should be changed. The fruit of our life should be different than the world. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And I want to add one other thing. There is no expiration date. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 years. We are all called to bear fruit. When we allow the fruit of the Spirit to operate in our lives, the outcome will be fruitfulness. And I believe that one of the questions the Lord will ask us as we stand before Him is to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Were you fruitful? Did you follow this command? We should see fruitfulness in every area of our life, especially when it comes to fulfilling the Great Commission, that command to go into all the world, to every believer, to share the gospel with everyone we meet and populate heaven. To be fruitful, we have to have the fruit of the Spirit active in our lives. And listen, the fruit of the Spirit is every single fruit. It's not fruits, it's fruit. When I worked at headquarters, if anybody knows our superintendent, George Wood. Anybody know that name? George Wood is the superintendent of the Assemblies of God, USA. I used to work with him. And one day we were getting ready to film a video for headquarters. And I looked at him and I said, the fruits of the Spirit. And he looked at me and he went, it's the fruit of the Spirit. I go, okay, thanks for fixing that for me. So I'll never forget that. And I always remember that it's not just pick or choose. But it literally, like the gifts of the Spirit, you might have one or two or multiple in operation, but the fruit of the Spirit is all coming out of this heart that we have for the Lord. Fruitfulness is the outcome of what God is already doing in a person's life. That's why I think it's so important to do a fruit check. Because what God is already doing in your life, that will be what directs the fruit out of your heart. That makes sense? Like, God, what are you already doing in my life? And that's always a challenge to look at our lives and say, Lord, if stinky fruit is coming out of my life, like if you've ever been to the Philippines, there's a fruit called durian. Anybody ever hear it? It smells like dirty feet, okay? It's a nasty fruit. It's a delicacy in the Philippines, but man, I would never, like you literally land and it just, we want good fruit coming out of our lives. To plant fruit, it doesn't just happen. It's a process. It's a very intentional process, in fact. First, a seed must be planted in the right atmosphere. It must be watered and fertilized. It needs sun. The gardeners need to prune it and keep the weeds out. There's much care and intentionality to bearing fruit. And like for me, I kill everything I put my hand on. So I don't know that I would be a good fruit farmer. You might be better than me out there tending your garden. But there's much care and intentionality, especially for the vine to produce fruit. It doesn't just happen. Fruitfulness in our lives is the same way. It takes much care. It takes much intentionality on our part. You do have to have skin in the game as a Christian. There are certain expectations that God places on our lives that we're going to live differently, that we're going to be differently, that our lives, people will know us by our fruits. Any one of us can put good fruits on here while we're all together, but it's what we do when we step out of the four walls. What kind of fruit is coming out of our lives? It's such an interesting question. For us, we've got to take time to have the right seed planted in our heart. We've got to say, Lord, plant the right seed in my life. Lord, help me to be in your word and in prayer and worship, the right atmosphere. Help me to be in your presence. Help me to be worshiping you for the water and the fertilizer in my life. We need to be in the presence and choose to be in the presence of the Son, Jesus. Let the Son just radiate on our lives every day. and then allow God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to prune our lives back and keep the weeds out. You know what? We got to be on guard to make sure there's no weeds in our garden. Looking and the enemy loves to put weeds in our garden. And what do weeds finally do? It literally sucks the life out of us. The way we think, the things we allow into our lives. If we're intentional about this process, our lives will bear much fruit for God, and we will be obedient to his command to be fruitful. Jesus commands, say the word command, command. He commands us to be fruitful. It is not optional. It's not optional. It's not like, if you feel like being fruitful, Jesus comes along and he commands us to be fruitful. It's not optional. With fruitfulness being a command, it's important that we make it a priority in our lives. What kind of fruit's coming out of my life? With the right kind of fruit coming out of our lives, it should be evident and people know who we are and know our lives. I want to take us back to John 15, 1 through 8, and I want to read together and understand what Jesus was saying when he said this scripture. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You could also say gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already, you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So is Jesus saying in this scripture that if you're not bearing fruit, you're going to hell? It's not what he's saying. He's saying if you turn your back on me and you give your salvation up, that's really what he's saying. But let's be honest. Cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is it's a difficult thing because we have to be on guard. We have to be watching what comes into our lives. Cultivating might require us to change and will require some work on our part. The good news, though, is that God's the gardener. He comes along and he helps us. The good news is that he does most of the heavy lifting, that the Holy Spirit steps in and helps us if we are open to the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We have to be open and have a desire to be fruitful. He will do the rest. You see, really what the fruit of our life is what happens when you get pushed. What happens when adversity comes your way. That's really a good fruit test to see what comes out. What is the fruit that's going to come out when you get pushed? So tonight I want to look at three keys to fruitfulness in our lives, and I want to kind of take this from our scripture, and we'll hurry through this. Key number one, stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. The vine is who? The vine is Jesus. Stay connected. Listen, on our own, we could sit here and say, I want to have love, I want to have joy, I want to have kindness, I'm going to be really work hard on that. But if you're not connected to God, none of those fruits will be in your life. He is the one that does that for you. Jesus said, he is the vine, God is the gardener. Jesus said, he is the vine, God is the gardener. The grapevine produces a great amount of fruit. A single vine supports numerous branches and bears many grapes. In the Old Testament, grapes symbolize Israel's fruitfulness in doing God's work on the earth. In the Passover meal, the fruit of the vine symbolizes God's goodness to his people. Christ is the vine, and God is the gardener who cares for his branches to make them fruitful. So when you're connected to the vine, if you'll allow it, Jesus will make you fruitful. The branches are all those who claim to be followers of Christ. The fruit branches are believers who, in their partnership with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, produce much fruit. You see, it's a partnership. And that's what I love about God. He'll give us a command, but then he says, I'm here to help you. You just be open to the fruit that I want to pour out in your life. Be aware of what's coming out, and I'll help you with the fruit that you need to have. I'll change you. I'll do things in your life. We also see those that become unproductive or turn their back on following Christ After making a superficial commitment, we'll be separated from the vine. The moment that you are saved, then you start working on your garden. You start working on being fruitful. The first step to faithfulness in our lives is staying connected to the vine. Letting being that connection. We stay connected to the vine by staying connected to Jesus. Our relationship with the Lord is central. Spending time every morning being connected. And that's why I say a fruit check. Because you can tell how a person's relationship with God is by the fruit that's coming out of their lives. And that's what Scripture tells us. So if you're looking and going, man, I don't like the fruit that's coming out of my life, don't blame it on, well, they made me mad, so I just, no. It's, Jesus, I need to be more connected with you. I need more fruit. I need your fruit coming out. The Holy Spirit, I need your help. The moment we get disconnected from Jesus, our spiritual life begins to die. Our tree begins to die. There is no branch that could be disconnected and live. A branch only lives when it's connected to the vine. Good fruit will only be grown in our lives when we're connected to Jesus and we allow the Holy Spirit to work. Fruit's the result of being connected to the vine and allowing the gardener to work in your garden, which is your life. And I love that. Every tool that we need, all we are is the vessel that's willing to allow God to come in and work through our lives. Holy Spirit, put fruit into my life. Key number two, how fruit grows. We cannot grow fruit apart from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We are all branches. Here's the good news. Are you ready? I know that many times the enemy tries to convince us, like serving God is just a list of do's and don'ts, and there's so much to do, and it gets so overwhelming. But that's not what God said at all. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when he comes along and he says, I want fruit in your life, he's not talking about the fruit that you can produce. We know the fruit that we can produce on our own. You know it. We're all aware of the fruit that we can produce when it's on our own. And it's fruit completely different than what Jesus has called us to produce. That's why we have to say, Jesus, I need your help. I need the vine. I need the gardener to come in and change me to you to do what you've called me to do. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me to grow the fruit in my life. So if you're thinking, man, it's just more to do. I just have more to do on my to-do list from this sermon. No, all you need to do is say, Jesus, I need to be connected to you. And then take the bad fruit out and put the good fruit in. Grow it in my life. Do you think a branch ever has to say, okay, well, I'm going to have to grow my own fruit? No, they just get connected, and it happens naturally through the DNA of that plant. You get connected to Jesus, and your DNA becomes his DNA, and it's just going to naturally flow out of your life. If you're not careful, you can get to the point where you're ready to throw your hands in because you're looking at it like a long list. And I'm saying that Jesus, if we remain in him and he remains in us, the fruit begins to grow in our lives. All you have to do is remain open and connected to him and the Holy Spirit. Give Jesus free access. Give the Holy Spirit free access to come into your life and say, grow the fruit in me. Now, it might be a little bit of a challenge because he says, hey, I want you to get rid of this, and it's time to get rid of that. But if you'll let him take it, he'll do some great work. All we need to do is remain open and connected to him. Scripture also tells us that apart from him, we can do nothing. Say the word, nothing. You can't do anything apart from him. We've got to be connected. On our own, we can't bear the kind of fruit that Jesus is encouraging us to bear. It's when we stay close to him, close to the vine, that we remain in him, that we're able to bear fruit. Fruit is the direct result of whatever controls our hearts. Fruit is the direct result of whatever controls your heart. Fruit is the final product. After something's been in the ground and it's been growing and been fertilized and the sun, fruit is the final product. It's not the first product. So we've got to go into a journey with the Lord, and he lets us, he just begins to grow fruit. Whoever controls your heart is what fruit is going to come out. Scripture tells us that the fruit of a life not surrendered to Jesus includes fruit that may be sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, and many more evil acts. So you look at your life and you see these things coming out, man, I would be concerned. The fruit of the Spirit is, in contrast, is that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we're going to look at every one of those and see how they play out in our lives. Many people on their own try to be good. They try to be honest. They try to do what's right. But Jesus says the only true way to live and live a godly life is stay close to Him. Let Him and the Holy Spirit build the fruit in your life. Like a branch attached to a vine, apart from Jesus, our efforts are unfruitful. That's why it's so important that we're so connected to Him. And I love the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit comes along, and if we're listening, He'll say, hey, I want you to get rid of this fruit in your life. Hey, listen, that's not producing the right kind of fruit. He helps us with it. And I love the fact that God helps us. Aren't you thankful of that? That God doesn't just say, you need to go figure this out on your own. That'd be like the world, right? Many of us have tried to figure it out on our own. It's when Jesus steps in that we finally are able to figure out what He's saying. When we're separated from the vine, we miss our nourishment and life offered by Jesus. We miss out on the special gift that He has. So tonight, if there's anything we walk out with, is how important it is to stay connected to the vine. Don't ever get disconnected. Our role in fruitfulness, what role do we play, is making that choice to stay connected to Him. And then choose to allow the Holy Spirit to help us to bear the right kind of fruit in our lives. We do have a choice in the kind of fruit that our lives will produce. We do have a choice there. Only you control what kind of fruit's going to come out of your life. So, really quick, what does remaining in Him mean? One, it means believing that He is God's Son. So, believing that He is God's Son. Receiving Him as Savior and Lord. So, that's that salvation point. Receiving Him as Savior and Lord. Doing what God says. So obedience, doing what God says. Continuing to believe the gospel. And I think that's an important part. You might go, why is that? Because we can believe it at the point of this altar, but then when we get back to real life, do we continue to believe what the gospel can do in our lives? What the gospel, what Jesus wants to do? And then the fifth, we abide in Him, we remain in Him by relating in love to the community of believers, so the Christ body. Always dealing. In fact, if you want to know something, I'll give a little bit away because we're talking about love next week. Love is the basis of every other fruit. It all starts with love. It starts with our love towards God, our love towards each other. So key number three, how do we bear much fruit? I think it's important to understand, not just bear a little fruit. Bear much fruit is what Scripture tells us. Jesus tells us He wants us to bear much fruit. He wants us to bear a bumper crop of fruit in our lives. The closer we are to Him, the more fruit our lives will bear. I think it's so important we need to regularly evaluate the fruits that are coming out of our lives. Really stop and think, Lord, what's coming out of my life? Lord, help me to see my blind spots. Are there fruits that maybe I don't, do I get mad and angry when this happens? What happens when I get pushed? What happens when I get cut off on 364? None of you get cut off on 364. Missouri drivers, you guys are so quiet. You guys are probably the ones cutting people off then. I'm just kidding. Kidding. Y'all are great drivers. It's important to see what kind of fruit's coming out of your life. It's a great indicator of the condition of your relationship with the Lord. That's why it's so important to take time out to say, God, what is coming out of my life? What kind of fruit are you looking for? The fruit of the Spirit is part of this, but there's many ways that a Christian can be fruitful. True fruitfulness begins in the heart with the fruit of the Spirit. It starts here. In fact, Scripture tells us that what comes out of the mouth is a sign of what's in the heart. It's interesting. That's a good sign. That's a good gauge. It's a good, I kind of look at these things as the warning lights on your dashboard that something's not right. It's that empty sign for some of us, right? That you love to run out to the last minute right before you get to the gas station. Anybody like that? That's good. The inner fruit affects our outward actions, our heart, our words, our activities. We'll glorify the Lord and God's will be accomplished when we have the right kind of fruit. True fruitfulness so begins at the heart. God's desire is to transform us into the image of Christ and make us fruitful as He was. You see, it's that grafting into the vine. When they talk about vine and a branch, what you literally see is in the Jewish culture, they would put a branch together and bind it together, and pretty soon it would grow into one plant. And that's what we want. We want to be grafted into that vine. God's desire is to transform us into the image of Christ and make us fruitful. We do that, and we're characterized by good works, humility, forgiveness, We always want to be ready to give an account for the hope that's within you. If you don't have hope, come to this sermon series. We desire to be the good soil Jesus spoke of, good soil in our lives, so that the seed can get down. We have to keep in mind that to experience great fruitfulness sometimes means pruning too. None of us like pruning. In fact, Scripture tells us that he has to prune our lives. And Jesus makes a distinction between the two kinds of pruning. One is separating. That'd be where it's thrown into the fire. Two is cutting back the branches. Fruitful branches are cut back to promote growth. There are times that God disciplines us to strengthen our character. Now, when we hear the word discipline, we automatically go back to when we were 5 years old and we got spanked. All right? That is not the discipline that Scripture is talking about. In fact, if you look at the Holman Bible Dictionary, it gives a great idea of what discipline means. Discipline, which is also disciple, comes from the Latin word disco, which means to dance. No, I'm just kidding. Which means to learn or to get to know, a direct kind of acquaintance with someone or something. Discipline refers to the process by which one learns a way of life. A disciple was like an apprentice who was learning a trade or a craft from a master. Such learning required a relationship between the master, being in the vine, who knew the way of life, the discipline, and a learner who was the disciple. With this relationship, the master led a learner through the process, the discipline, until the learner could imitate or live like the master. He cuts us back, so we learn how to live like the master. Such a great perspective. And we found out that already the branches that don't bear fruit are cut off. People who don't bear fruit for God or try to block the efforts of God's followers will be cut off from his life-giving power. The result of spiritual fruitfulness is that God is glorified, we grow, and others come to know Christ. It's the ultimate fruitfulness of a child of God. So tonight I want to challenge us, fruitfulness. Letting the fruit of the Spirit work out in our lives. How do we become fruitful? Because every person in this room who is a believer has been called to be fruitful. Not only fruitful, but to bear much fruit. And that's my goal for you, is to help us with that. And like I said, it's not something we do apart from God and apart from Jesus. It's something we do together. Saying, Jesus, what kind of fruit is my life bearing? And listen, you can't change anyone else. The only person you can change is you. The only person you need to be looking at is you. Well, I acted this way because they did it. No, that's a sign that you've got to get something fixed in your heart. The fruit that's coming out of your life. Let's bear much fruit. Can we bow our heads across this place? Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that this isn't just a long list of do's and don'ts to be a Christian. Lord, it's not about following the rules. It's not about being perfect. Lord, it's about being connected to you and letting you work in our lives. Lord, I thank you that you're the vine, Jesus. God, you're the gardener in our garden. Holy Spirit, you help us to be fruitful. Lord, help us to grasp this message. Lord Jesus, where you said to bear much fruit. And Lord, if in our lives, Lord, we have not been bearing fruit, or even tonight as we're hearing this message, Lord, you're speaking in a still, small voice, and Jesus, you're saying, check your fruit. Lord, it's because you love us so much. Lord, if there's fruit in our lives, Lord, that we've let slip in that's not of you, God, I pray that you would take it. Change us, Lord. God, we give you free access tonight to walk into our hearts. Holy Spirit, Lord, walk into our hearts. If you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I've never given my life to the Lord, I need to do it today. That's the first step. It's the first step. Maybe you've walked away from him and you're saying, man, I'm like that branch out there by myself. And tonight I need to turn my heart back to him. If that's you, Jesus is here. His hands are outstretched. You can always get reconnected to the branch, the vine. You can always get reconnected to him. If you'd say, Pastor, tonight I need to just remember me. Will you? I need to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? Just give you that opportunity. Lord, tonight I pray, God, that as we walk into life tomorrow, Lord, when we're not in this atmosphere, Lord, when we go in back to our jobs, when we go back to our families, Lord, you know the pressures and the stress, God. Lord, that's when the true fruit is shown. So, Lord, help us. Speak to us, God. Lord, I love you. We love you tonight. We thank you. God, I thank you for every person that's here. Bless them. Help them to walk in victory. Help them to walk in much fruitfulness. Lord Jesus, I pray your face would shine upon them. Lord, that many miracles would come their way. Lord, thank you. Just bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that this would just be a year of fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming tonight. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday. Walk in fruitfulness.